that you are doing in our midst. I want to praise you, God, that you, Father, are working in us, Lord, in ways that we see and in ways that we don't. And I ask, Lord, that today that you would take your word by your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts and our attitudes as we contemplate serving, Lord, each other and serving our world. Lord, I just ask that you would work, Lord, in a powerful way now. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick word as you guys leave here today. Just want to remind you about our fellowship in the gym as we break our fast. And it's also going to flow over into 20 and 21. We have our WANA kids practice there as well. And in our food pantry, as Jonathan mentioned, there's just an abundance of items, lots of meats. As you guys are breaking your fast, it seems like the Lord delivered right from heaven on those things. So I want to encourage you guys to check that out. There's lots of chicken and turkey and all kinds of things there that'll bless you and also your neighbors as well. So I want to just kind of remind us where we are. We've been studying this idea as we kind of open up a brand new year. First things first. And how do we make this year fruitful? How do we make this year a blessing and a year that's going to make a difference in our world, in our families, in ourselves? And we started out with this idea of it takes a spiritual commitment to grow. And we looked at a whole bunch of different things, and we'll go right to the next slide. We talked about some of the resources that we have, powerful resources for growth. We talked about the Word of God. We talked about prayer. We talked about fasting. And then after that, we talked about fellowship. We said, you know, but each other is such an important part of this picture, and each other is a catalyst for our growth. We talked about worship after that and how just focusing on God and worshiping Him is just going to change everything in our lives and making Him the centerpiece. And then after that, we talked about last week the idea of fellowship, and that leads us into this idea this morning where we are, which is, it's about serving. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. Say it with me. Serving makes you strong.
Serving makes you strong.
And I want to throw this out. As you guys say that, does that ring a bell? Does that register that serving makes you strong? Some of you guys are probably saying, man, serving wears me out. Right? I mean, let's be real. Isn't that kind of true? Like serving in our own strength just wears us out. Right? And we're going to talk about that this morning. So I want to jump right in. And kind of the idea I want you guys to get in your mind is this. So what does serving someone else do for me? God, by the way, commands us to serve. We'll look at that. And we're going to listen to God's word, and we're going to find out just what that does. And it's a cycle, not a vicious cycle, but a cycle that's really going to change our lives. So I want you guys to get this in your mind today. Think about our eternal truth. That seeking to serve others is not only obedient to God, it strengthens us spiritually. Okay? Seeking to serve others strengthens us spiritually. So we're going to jump in. We talked about this, as we opened up our series, and we said, you know, as we read the book of 2 Peter, these are all the character qualities that God either wants us to add to our lives if they're missing, or He wants us to develop them further if they're there. And faith is a big one, right? Virtue, this idea of our Christian character. As I serve others, man, my character matters, doesn't it? Knowledge, we have to get a better grasp of who God is, who we are, and how He empowers us and strengthens us. Self-control. Everybody look up for a second. Anybody serve others and freak out? Right? That's the problem. Perseverance. Sometimes we're like, I'm done. Right? As we serve, right? We've been there. Godliness, you know, that character again, that idea of really embodying what God looks like in this world as we live out our Christianity. Brotherly kindness and love. So those are things we're seeking to work on and develop. So we're gonna go right down to our next slide, and we'll skip over that one, Chris. And we're going to go right to our first point this morning. And Christopher, just take us down one more, if you would, my brother. There we are. So the picture of serving. And we're going to see this in John chapter 13. And I want you guys to kind of get a grasp of this as we think about what serving looks like. And I want you guys to write these things down. Here's kind of the idea, the picture of serving is, I want you, as you think about Jesus in John 13, I want you to get this picture, the setting and the priority, get that. And by the way, if we're going to serve, the second thing I want you to think about is, we got to set aside some barriers if we're going to serve. There's a whole lot in the way if I'm going to put myself aside and serve someone else. So we're going to deal with that. And I want you, everybody, look up for a minute and get this, write this down, but then look up. Serving is a struggle. It's a struggle for the server, and it's a struggle for the servee. It's a struggle. We're going to see this in the text. But Jesus, at the end of this, as he teaches it by example, he makes an overarching statement that we need to kind of come to grips with this morning. So we're going to jump right on in. And the first thing I want to say to us today is this. I want you guys to notice the setting of John chapter 13. And you might say, well, it comes after John 12. You're on the right track. Right? John chapter 13. Get this in your mind, right? Jesus knows that he's about to go to Jerusalem. He's going to crucify. He's going to die. He's going to rise again. He's going to ascend to heaven. And the disciples are going to freak out. So he takes the next several chapters in the book of John. And by the way, these chapters record Jesus' life as he speaks to his disciples, and he tries to give them a firm foundation to go on, to serve him, to be the church, to develop the church, to make disciples when Jesus is bodily absent. But the Holy Spirit is all present in the lives of believers and in our hearts. So that's kind of the setting. And let's just dive in. Look at the text as we look at it this morning. It says these verses. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. So there's what I just said, right? Jesus gets it. He goes, man, I'm getting ready to go. And these are kind of like final words. You know, when we all get ready to leave this earth, hopefully we have a chance to have those final words with our families to say, this is what is important in life. And Jesus has that chance to do that as he understands that his time has come. And by the way, notice what he says. He says, having loved his own, he means his followers, his disciples, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So at the end, Jesus wasn't worried about Jesus. Jesus was worried about setting an example and showing the followers what matters in life. What distinguishes us as followers of Christ, and it's not how much we know, but it's really how we love and how we serve. Right? And he lays that out for them. And I want you guys, I wrote these kind of notes at the bottom. Notice the setting, right? Jesus knew. And by the way, it's interesting. It's in the perfect tense in the Greek language. In other words, Jesus knew it, and the result of him knowing that influenced what he did. You know, in a continuing way. Like the action of Jesus knowing was done, but it affected every single last day of his life until he was crucified and ultimately until he ascended to heaven. Right? So this affected his behavior and his thinking and all those things. And the priority, go back, Christopher, I'm sorry. Go back if you would. If I hit that, I apologize. The priority, right? And notice what his priority was. He says, I want to love the disciples to the end, and I want to teach or prepare them. That's the priority. And by the way, that's a good priority for us, too. We want to teach, and we want to love those who follow us, who follow Christ. We want to love them to the end, right? And then notice the point, by the way, the point here is serving. And I want to think about that for a second today. You know, on your deathbed, are you going to tell your family, hey, y'all, serve? Is that the first thing that comes to your mind? Probably not, right? I put this out. I said, Jesus could have picked anything, but he picked service driven by love. And this is his first topic he deals with the disciples as they know the last time is approaching. He says, you guys got to be servants. Everybody look up. Embodied in us serving others is a whole lot of life change and growth that needs to happen. So like saying service is like, man, that's like an overarching statement because I can never serve you or anyone else unless God deals with my selfish heart. And that's kind of the problem. That's kind of the challenge. So Jesus kind of lays that out there. And I want to go right to the next point, if you were, Christopher, under that idea. And I want you guys to notice what Jesus did. And let's just read the verse. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, and look what it says, and he laid aside his garments, took a towel, by the way, you can write the word apron, and he girded himself. In other words, he put that on around his waist. That's what he was wearing. He took off his outer jacket. I'll give you an example. Like, you know, I come to church, and we try to look nice on Sundays. We wear a suit when it's not hot weather, right? But if I was going to go out and chop wood, I would probably need to get this thing off, right? You know, if I was going to go, you know, change your tire, we had to do that once on the way from a funeral, I would want to get this thing off, right? Probably, right? It's not going to be helpful. So Jesus does that. And I want you guys to understand there's some significance here because the first thing is Jesus looked like a slave who washed the guest's feet. What? I thought he was the Son of God. You know, you may have heard this word, Jesus condescended. In other words, Jesus didn't just come from heaven and act like God and be on the throne while he was on earth. Jesus came to earth and he made himself a servant, lower than low, so he could show us the love of God in real physical form for everyone to see. So Jesus looked like an everyday servant. A lot of times, by the way, this job was accomplished by the lady of the house. This was accomplished by one of the servants, one of the slaves of the house. So Jesus didn't look like Jesus. He wasn't all decked out. However we think Jesus looked when he was decked out, Jesus was wearing an apron like a humble servant. He looked awfully different. And I want you to stop and think about this for a second. What did he set aside? It says he laid aside his outer clothing. But Jesus, he did that as a way to show us he laid aside a whole lot of things. He laid aside his person, his identity. He wasn't wearing a t-shirt that said, by the way, I'm God. He laid aside his identity. He laid aside his pride, his position, his power, his passion. And by the way, as Jesus is serving, remember, Jesus knows all these things. He knows, and we'll read about this later in the text, that one of the people he was going to wash their feet was going to betray him to death. And you know, Peter was sitting there, and Peter said, I'll never do that. He knew he was going to betray him three times. He knew the rest of the disciples, every single one of them, ran. And he still laid that aside and said, I'm going to serve them anyhow. And I want you guys to stop. Everybody look up for a second. Stop thinking about that for a second. Are those the kind of people you want to serve? Like even in church, and you know, I love people that are loyal. I kind of grew up in that age, I guess, that time where we value loyalty less than it's valued today in our world, right? But Jesus, even though he probably valued loyalty, but he said, I'm going to lay all that aside for these sinful people, and I'm going to teach them how to serve no matter what. Even if they're going to be people that betray me. You know, he's going to do that. And Jesus, he just put all that aside. He said, his personal desires and comfort. I'll throw this out for a second. Imagine just for a minute if I were to take all this stuff off and say, all right, John, take off your shoes, brother. You know, is that a comfortable spot for me or John? You know, it's not comfortable, right? And you know, your feet, by the way, aren't the prettiest things. You know, they're not they may be, maybe you got your shower, but, you know, feet, they show their wear and tear, and they smell their wear and tear. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing, right? This idea of foot washing, right? So Jesus, right, he puts aside his personal desires and his comfort, and he puts aside every single thing But his purpose, which is to show these people he loved them and to teach them that love is embodied in our service to each other and to the world. Right? So it's like, man, it's like so profound as Jesus does this stuff. And, you know, I want to share with you guys, I just put up on the screen. What could we, Chris, go back one more time. I'm sorry. Chris is reading my mind. You're doing pretty good. You're just like, you're actually faster than my mind today, so it's good. But he says, what could we set aside to serve better? I want you guys to answer that question for a second this morning. What could you and I set aside to serve better? You know, what's the thing that got you? Is it your pride? Is it that you know those people and you're like, you think they don't deserve it? And they probably don't. But it doesn't matter in Jesus' world. In our economy, if you deserve it, we want to serve you. If you don't deserve it, we want to kick you out. Right? That's human thinking, but God's thinking is better. What could we set aside to serve better? And that's something to think about this morning. So we're going to go to the next one. Chris, go right ahead, please. Serve is a struggle. And we mentioned that earlier. And I want you to get this idea. Look in the text. Peter's here and Jesus, and they're having an interaction. It says, and after that, Jesus, he poured the water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. In other words, so by the way, this is even kind of gets weirder to us. So Jesus not only is wearing a towel, he's using that towel to wipe the dirty feet. And just to get a perspective, the idea is, remember, these people wore like sandals. They didn't wear Uggs. They didn't wear Adidas. They didn't wear Nike. They wore sandals, right? And people's toes got dusty and dirty. And like, imagine this morning, it was like raining cats and dogs, right? You know, and you walk out in your sandals, you know, onto the grass, into the gutter before you get in your car. And if that was true, your feet would be kind of dirty, right? So Jesus is wiping those things off on the towel that he's wearing. What an act of humility. I mean, would you do that? Would I do that? I might wear a towel, but I'd have like another towel under it, you know, or something. But Jesus is doing that. And it's uncomfortable, and it's, you know, it's a struggle. And it says, he did those things. It says, then he came to Simon Peter. And I want you guys to picture this for a second. You know, just imagine, you know, this first row, right? These are all the disciples, you know, and we get Priscilla done, and she's probably going, thank God it's over. And then I'm going to Dora, right? And Dora's like, okay, you know, thank God. You know, Eunice, and I'm coming down to Rachel, and Blessing's going, please, I hope he's finished before he gets to me. You know, and Cindy's saying, yeah, I hope he's finished when he gets to Blessing, please, right? Like, that's kind of the thought. So he goes to Simon Peter, right? And look what it says, Peter says, Lord, are you washing my feet? And that wasn't like a question of, I just been wondering, are you going to do mine too? That question was, Lord, are you really going to wash my feet? You know? And I'm going to say, Peter had ugly feet, but it was like a whole issue of his pride. Like, I don't need that. You know, it's that kind of idea. It's uncomfortable. It's a struggle. And he didn't understand. Jesus said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now. Everybody look up, ain't that true? Like, I don't get that. But he says, you'll know after this. And Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. So I'll throw that out. Even for the receiver, pride gets in the way, doesn't it? You know, and that's the problem. I'm going to throw this out. I have a confession to make, right? Another one, okay? You know, and a lot of times, by the way, I appreciate this, in a lot of our Liberian folks' culture, you guys make a real effort to make the pastors feel appreciated. And this kind of dawned on me last night as I was thinking about this. But I always say, no, don't serve me. I'll get in the line. I don't want to cut people off in line because I'm no better than anyone else in the line. But it's hard for me in my pride to sit there while everyone else is in the line. And you serve me, you know, the food first. It makes me feel weird. But that's the real problem, isn't it? So, like, in a sense, I'm trying to do the right thing. I don't want you to lift me up, but I have to be able to be humble myself and be served sometimes too. Right?
Isn't that kind of weird, right? Makes sense, right? And I don't know about Pastor Anstey. Does that make you feel weird? I don't know. But it's like we struggle with that, right? We struggle with that. And yeah, I throw this out. You know, a lot of times in churches, you know, on churches on the platform, they have those big chairs. You know, top of the chair is like 8 foot tall. You know, right? And it looks like, you know, you're the emperor, not the pastor, right? And I know for me, like, and you see me, like, I get up when I have to say something, but otherwise I just stay down there. That's the same thing. Like, I just feel so weird about that. I'm not good at that. And even sometimes you'll go to a funeral and they'll say, all the clergy, you know, come on up. And it's like that same feeling in my heart just comes up, you know, and it's pride. God reveals that in all of us, right? You know, so you see this with Peter. It's like a real challenge, right? He said, you're never going to wash my feet. But then Jesus says to him, hold on for a second. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. In other words, if I don't have this washing of the blood of Jesus Christ in my life, I have no fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need the word of God every day to get the dust and the sin off my feet, but I don't need to be saved again every single day. Yeah. And that's kind of the principle that Jesus is trying to explain. And then Peter all of a sudden goes, uh-oh. And he says, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my face. Like he realized, like, wait a second, you mean I can't have fellowship with you? You know, here I am, washed everything. Right? And that's kind of what Peter's saying. He kind of got the idea. But his problem is a problem like ours when it comes to service on both ends. It's a problem of pride and a lack of our spiritual understanding. It really is. We struggle with those things. Peter's new perspective just changed everything. Wash me entirely. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up for a second. Serving opens up doors to growth for the giver and the receiver. Amen. And, you know, I've been doing this for a little while, and this passage, when I start thinking about it, it's like, uh-oh. You know, sometimes God puts the mirror right on us. And we don't like that mirror sometimes, but God shows us, like, wow, you still got some issues, young man. You know? Or you might say, old man. I'm reading your mind, Dennis. Right? Right, got some issues still. Got to still work on some stuff, right? Chris, take us to the next slide. The struggle continues, right? So Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet to be completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. And I want you guys to get this in mind, right? By the way, thinking about uncomfortable, Judas is in the Jesus washes his feet. That must have been really a squirming time for Judas. Can you imagine? And he knew what was going to happen, right? And it says, and so he had washed his feet. He had taken his garments. He sat down again. He said to him, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And just kind of going back, Jesus knows what he did. He said, do you know what I've done? And I'm going to throw this out. Sometimes an answer, just like Jesus saying it, isn't that helpful. But he just throws that question out. Do you know what I've done? And they all begin to think like, oh. And they have what we have sometimes, right? It's called an aha moment. You know, we're like, oh, I get it now. And the struggle, by the way, and I'll throw this out, as we serve each other, that struggle is going to change me and change you as we grow in our knowledge, we grow in God's grace, and we begin to confess some of the sins that we have guarded and hidden for a long time. Amen. So this idea of service really, really makes us grow. Christopher, take us to letter D. And notice the words of the master. At the end of this, then Jesus makes this big overarching statement. He's like, here's the deal. It says, if then you, Lord, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And again, everybody look up. Some churches, by the way, they do practice foot washing. It's not a bad thing. Wouldn't that be a humbling experience for us? And the idea is we serve each other. God wants us to humble ourselves. You know, and be real, be honest about who we are. And he says, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Sounds a little bit like James, right? Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be what? A doer of the word. And by the way, James, Jesus' brother, that he may have got that quotation, you know, even from this conversation. So, a couple things to think about real quick. Jesus' example. Real selfless service, even to Judas. Everybody look up. Anybody got a Judas in their life? You might say, you should meet my family. They're all. You know, right? But think about that. So God's called us to serve. And sometimes it just like freaks us out and it makes us blow up and all those kind of things. But God's called us to be a servant, right? And then Jesus' expectation is to follow him in serving. And I went through this. I like this phrase. I heard someone else say it. I stole it. You are not a volunteer. I think we have this idea, like, you know, there's community service that people do. And we are a community. But if we're followers of Christ, our service is not a volunteer thing. It's not like, well, let me see if I got a minute to do that, I will. Let me see if it's easy, then I'll serve the Lord. If I'm not too busy, I'm going to serve God. You know, if I get all my work done, I'm going to serve God. That's really not what Jesus' expectation is, that we're going to follow him and serve like he serves. And that, by the way, that just changes our life priorities a whole bunch, doesn't it? And that's something that I think, you know, God is speaking to all of us. And that's kind of why we're doing this. Service just changes everything. And that's God's expectation. And by the way, that's God's expectation in what we can do physically, what we do with our money, what we do with our time. It's not like, well, let me think about it for a second. That's what Jesus' mandate is, to do those things. So, by the way, Chris, you're ahead of me today, brother. I appreciate you, though. Go back one, if you would. The last thing is Jesus' exclamation. Blessed are you if you follow him in service, you will develop and grow. So it's kind of like, this is like one of the Beatitudes, right? If I serve, man, God is really going to bless. Not only is this expected, there's a real great outcome if I do it. So that's kind of cool. So we want to go, Chris. Chris is saying, hurry up, Pastor Gary. I want to get to that fellowship lunch. So here's the key thing. Everybody look up. Anybody struggle with serving? Raise your hand. Some of you guys, I got both of them. Right? Yeah. Amen, amen. Preach it, brother. Right? We all struggle with that, right? So get this idea. The problem, I think, and I'm going to confess about me, the problem of my service, or sometimes my lack of service, is I'm not prepared. I might know what I got to do, but I'm not prepared. And I'll throw this out. Service strengthens me. Everybody look up. Get this in your mind. Break this one down. Service stretches me to the point that sometimes I want to snap, right? And by the way, sometimes I don't want to snap, but I snap anyway, right? Service stretches me. Serving requires seeking God before starting the day, right? And I want to get this in our minds, right? We have to have a godly perspective. We need to have a godly presence. We need God's power. We need God's peace. And we need God's grace if we're going to carry this out. And that's really the challenge. I think like service is something we can do. But everybody look up. We can't do this in our own energy and our own resources. And every time we try, that's when we explode. You know, and that's the challenge. And you know, and there is an idea, and we talk about this in our staff meeting. Like, I struggle even in our own family sometimes setting like boundaries. But I know one of the boundaries that I continue to cross, and you do too, is I got to have that time with God to get prepared, or it's not going to work. And I'll throw this out. We're watching that series. It came available for free, actually, called The Chosen. If anybody watch The Chosen? I encourage you guys, check that thing out. It's really good. It's on Amazon TV. It's actually available now on, I actually saw it free. I believe it's on Peacock and some other place too. But check it out. And one thing I noticed about Jesus wasn't always around. Anybody say, where is Jesus? Is it his day off? You know, is it Thursday and Jesus off on Thursday? Where's he at? And Jamie remarked about this too. We've been watching this together some. Jesus sometimes, he went away and he went far away because he had to get his heart prepared to do what he had to do. And that's kind of our challenge. I think our service sometimes is lacking because we just keep serving. You ever heard this expression? They say, you know, we keep cutting down the trees, but at some point we got to sharpen up the axe. You know, and I think we need to do that. And this is one of the challenges. We need God's perspective. So, Chris, take us to the passage. And I'll throw this out. Serving stretches me. Man, do I need God. I want to give you an Old Testament illustration. Elijah. He's like one of the greats, by the way. Elijah, like, he's the man. He took care of all those prophets. He chopped them all up in pieces. Like, that's the kind of guy, like, you know, as man, like, I idolize someone like that. Like, Elijah's like a tough guy, you know? He ain't taking that from those idol worshipers. Right? But here's the guy, after he has this great victory, look what it says. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Everybody look up. Anybody do a lot of serving? Sometimes I want to run to Beersheba. And I'm going to leave Jane right back there. Right? And notice what it says. It says, and he went himself and went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and he sat down under a broom tree. Understand, right? In the Holy Land, it's kind of desert in a lot of spots. Like a broom tree is like a little brush tree. It's like a little itty bit of shade. It's not like a big oak tree where, you know, he had a hammock and he was just chilling. Nothing like that. He's got a little bit of shade and it says, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. Everybody look up. Anybody feeling like Elijah lately? Like we are just served out, we feel like. But the problem is that we are so unprepared. Right? If God's called you to serve, God's going to give you what you need. And by the way, this is me telling me that too, because my head's about as hard as yours is too sometimes, right? Maybe harder. We all need to hear that. We need to understand that. And by the way, I like what you guys are saying this morning. I like a lot of what you guys are saying, but here's one statement. Jehovah has what? The final say. Amen. I need to get that in my mind, right? Jehovah has the final say, right? And here's a lot, by the way, Elijah, one of the greats. He's thinking like you guys. I'm done. I can't do it no more. And he needs some preparation. Christopher, take it down. So here's a couple things to think about. By the way, notice Jesus. And by the way, Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. I'm sure there's some times that Jesus might have crossed Jesus' mind, I'm done, in his flesh. Remember, Jesus wept, right? Jesus thirsted. Jesus hungered. And I'm sure at times, Jesus humanly felt discouragement, right? And by the way, notice what Jesus did. Look at Mark 1:35. This is a verse we all got to get down. Look what it says. It says, Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And I don't know about you, but if he's God and I'm not, how much more do I need to do that? Everybody, keep looking up. But here's the question. How often do I really do that? Some of you guys, anybody start like 6 a.m.? Anybody got a 6 a.m. start? You're like, I can't get up any earlier. I can't get up any earlier than that. But it's like somehow we got to carve out time to be with God in a desolate place by ourselves. Kind of like, by the way, remember in the temple, remember there was the gathering place? And then there was the holy place? And then there was the Holy of Holies. The idea is that the Holy of Holies is only you and God. It's a secret place. Yeah. And we need to kind of get to that place for some period of time before the day begins, before we're discouraged, before we start, before we're angry, before we start, before we get burned out, before we start. We got to get filled with the power of God, right? And Jesus kind of modeled that, right? And by the way, notice as we pick it up, Proverbs chapter 2, we love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Great passage, right? But Proverbs 2 says this. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, it means you're really going after it, right? And search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Amen. Remember, we said this all along. God is not trying to hide from us. He's not trying to keep his power from us. He's there, but we're running a different direction on our pace and our speed. And it doesn't really work. And I know it doesn't work for me. It's failure for me, too. So let's go on down. A couple other passages that help us kind of think about this as I go to that quiet place. It says, Paul wrote these words. He said, I need perspective. He said, see then, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. And I'll throw this out. As I try to serve God, sometimes, you know what? My mind is, I'm tired. I don't want to do anymore. You know, and all I'm thinking about is me, and my perspective is all way down here. But God wants to lift it up here. And that's the challenge. So I need that time to do that. And I need that time in his word just to like remind me that Jehovah has the last word. And he says, and Jesus, by the way, said this. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And what's the rest say? Read that for me. For without me, you can do nothing. So how can I be a godly parent without God? You know, how can I be a godly servant without God? How can I be a godly church person without God? It's impossible, right? But yet, I'll throw this out. Let's be honest, right? How many times do we run out the house and if God gets a prayer in the car, that would be a lot. Right? That's the challenge. That's what we got to change what we do. And this is me saying about me. And I'll throw this out. We need to listen to God. You know, we hear him in his word, but sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer right away the way we think he might. And, you know, the airplane doesn't go by with a sign that says, do this. But here's the challenge. We need to, and this is a good model for us. I want you guys, look at Psalm 46. Write this down. Here's some things that are going to anchor us in our lives as we try to serve, right? Here's the first one. It says, God is our refuge and strength. Get that down, right? You need power, God's it. Then he goes on, he says, a very present help in trouble. He said, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. God is here. We just got to say, hey, God, I need you. And it says, therefore, we will not fear. And by the way, this is our fear, right? Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar in our trouble, though the mountains shake. Doesn't that feel like life? That was the life of the psalmist, as he wrote Psalm 46, right? Like everything's happened. The waters are flowing. The earth is shaking. My world is falling apart. But God is our refuge. And I want to throw a word to you guys. It says, see that last word there? Selah. Or Selah. You can pronounce it different ways, you know, as we transliterate it into English from Hebrew. You have the idea that that word, the thinking of that word is, it's sort of word that says, stop for a minute and pause and think about what you just read. God's our refuge. Jehovah has the last word. We're going to be okay. Now throw this out. You're getting ready to go serve, getting ready to go to work or do what you do. Isn't that a good anchor for the day? Because you don't know what's going to happen. You might have an accident on the way to work. You don't know what phone call you're going to get about what happened either in Liberia or America or some other place. You don't know what that's going to be. You don't know how people are going to receive you. You don't know if you're going to get fired today. You don't know any of those things. But I can see loud and say, you know what? God is my refuge. He's the very present help in trouble, right? He's there, right? And notice he continues there and he says, you know, when you feel like you're all alone, he says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. And God is not just a cup of water. He's a river of hope, a river of strength, a river of power, a river that's going to help us do what God's called us to do. Amen. I don't know about you, but I could use that river. You know, God's more than one bottle of Gatorade. He is a continuous flow. He's just keeping it coming, right? And it says, you know, it says, God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. No one's going to overthrow God. They might overthrow you, but they're not going to overthrow God. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Christopher, take me to the next one. It says, the nation raged. The kingdoms were moved. By the way, think about that. Isn't that our world today? There's like stuff going on everywhere, it seems like. And in America, too. All these things are going on. It says, God uttered his voice and the earth melted. God's in power. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What's the next word? What's that mean? Take a deep breath. Pause. And do what? Oh, yeah. God's in control. God's in control. By the way, when you watch the news, there ain't no Selahs. Isn't that true? It's one bad thing after another until you just want to oh my God, what next, right? But we need to intersperse the news with the reality that God's in control. God's going to help us, right? And as he says, it says, come behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. And then he says this word. Be still and know that I'm God. So if we're going to serve, right, in any kind of way God wants us to, be still. And I'll throw this out. If I'm still, and by the way, I think I was ADHD before they knew what that was. Because I'm always moving. And anybody else had that? Jonathan, I think you got the bug as well, Jonathan. You got it too, right? Right? Think about that. But the challenge is, it's hard to hear God when all I hear is the wind from the window in the car. Right? It's hard. I got to be still. And even my wife is trying to help me to do that. And I struggle. Right? Ask Jane. I have a hard time with that. She's like, I'll go do that. You want me to go do it? No. I'll go do it. You know, I'm trying to be the servant. No, I'll go do it. Okay. So she's trying to, you know, I'm a poor student in some of these things, right? And he says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted on earth. Right? And that's kind of where God wants us to be at. And I'll throw this out. Everybody step back. We got to prepare. We're going to leave you with a couple things. We could do more passages. We're not going to forsake the time. Get this in our minds, right, as we walk away today. Serving is the goal. Serving is stretching. In a big way. Serving requires seeking God. We're not going to do well without that.
We're not going to do well unless we
really know God and have His power. But the last thing is this, right? Serving will strengthen me if done in God's power. Amen?
Amen.
So I don't know about you. I confess all my sins. Actually, I confess some of them. There's probably a whole lot more. But I want to encourage you guys. How do we need to do business with God? Can we do some reordering in our lives? There's some things that probably need to change. And we're trying to do the right things without God's power, the wrong way. What am I going to do? Now, I want to encourage you guys. Our praise team is going to come. But I encourage you guys, just take a minute. But you guys just bow your heads for a second. And would you just kind of tell God what's really going on and what you really need to do? And then our praise team is going to come and they're going to lead us in a song. We'll give you guys like a minute or so just to kind of contemplate and say that on it.